translation. According to Shankaracharya, by accepting the theory of the transformation of the energy of the Lord, one creates an illusion by indirectly accepting that the absolute truth is transformed. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that if one does not clearly understand the meaning of Parinamavad, or transformation of energy, one is sure to misunderstand the truth regarding this material cosmic manifestation. And the living entities in the Chandraga Upanishad, it is said, Sanamulaha Sumena Prajaha Shodda Yatana Shatparistana. Chandogya Upanishad 6:8-4. The material world and the living entities are separate beings, and they are eternally true, not false. Shankaracharya, however, unnecessarily, fearing that by Parinamavad, transformation of energy, Brahman would be transformed, Vikori, has imagined both the material world and the living entities to be false and to have no individuality. By word jugglery, he has tried to prove that the individual identities of the living entities and the material world are illusory. And he has cited the examples of mistaking a rope for a snake or an oyster shell for gold. Thus he has most abominably cheated people in general. The example of misunderstanding a rope to a snake is mentioned in the Mandukya Upanishad. But it is meant to explain the error of identifying the body with the soul. Since the soul is actually a spiritual particle, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Ansha Jiva Loke, it is due to the illusion Vivartavad that a human being, like an animal, identifies the body with the self. This is the proper example of Vivartavad, or illusion. The verse Atatvo Nyata Buddhihir Vivarta Iti Udratrata describes that such an illusion, to not know actual facts and thus to mistake one thing for another, as for example to accept the body as oneself, is called Vivartavad. Every conditioned living entity who considers the body to be the soul is deluded by this Vivartavad. One can be attacked by this Vivartavad philosophy when he forgets the inconceivable power of the omnipotent personality of Godhead. How the Supreme Personality of Godhead remains as he is, never changing, is explained in the Sri Upanishad. Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Avivisyate. God is complete. Even if a complete manifestation is taken away from Him, He continues to be complete. The material creation is manifested by the energy of the Lord, but He is still the same person. His form, entourage, qualities, and so on never deteriorate. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his Paramatma Sandarbha, comments regarding the Vivartavad as follows. Under the spell of Vivartavad, one imagines the separate entities, namely the cosmic manifestation and the living entities, to be one with Brahman. This is due to complete ignorance regarding the actual fact The absolute truth, or the Parabrahman, is always one and always the same. He is completely freed from all other conceptions of existence. He is completely free from false ego, for he is the full spiritual identity. It is absolutely impossible for him to be subjected to ignorance and fall under the spell of a misconception, vivartavad. The absolute truth is beyond our conception. One must admit that he has unblemished qualities that he does not share with every living entity. He is never tainted in the slightest degree by the flaws of ordinary living entities. Everyone must therefore understand the absolute truth to possess inconceivable potencies. Translation once again. According to Sankaracharya, by accepting the theory of the transformation of the energy of the Lord, one creates an illusion by indirectly accepting that the absolute truth is transformed. Om Gyanatim Vidandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasnarya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaste Sutarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. If we've noticed here, Srila Prabhupada, in the previous verse and in the 2-3 verses to come, this verse as well, there are elaborate purports. The previous verse had a very elaborate purport, and it took quite some time for Navadvipa Prabhu to read it last week. So, long purports mean that these are quite interesting verses. During the Janmasmi period and leading up to it, I was talking to many of our volunteer devotees. Some of these devotees have been coming here for many, many years, have been chanting. And I asked them, to me, a relatively simple question. But maybe it was the wording which I put in different ways. I was asking them that the nature of the absolute truth, would you consider the nature of the absolute truth, what is the superior aspect of the nature of the absolute truth? Is it form or formless? Now, to the majority of us, it's quite simple because we are Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Naturally, it's form. But then I would further continue and say that is the superior aspect of the absolute truth, is it the energy? Is it that which prevails all around us? Is it the aura of the Lord? Or is it simply the form? Now, I guess when you kind of put it like that, even to a devotee who's been coming for years and years, they would then say, no, naturally, it's the energy. Now, to a couple of these devotees, when I received that answer, a devotee who's been coming here for many, many years, possibly even 2-3 decades, I was quite surprised. I then reworded my statement. Are you sure, you're 100% sure it's the formless aspect? Is that what you're saying? Why? Well, the form has its limitations. When something has a form, there's limitations. Then I had to explain further. The example given of the sun in the Bhagavad Gita, that the globe, the sun itself, is the cause of all the light which prevails throughout the entire universe. But if it wasn't for the object or the sphere or the globe or the sun planet itself, then where would we get this light? So in that way, you know, we were explaining. But I was surprised that devotees who have been coming here for some time, and maybe it was my trickery, just like in the purport, Prabhupada mentions Shankaracharya is an expert juggler. He juggles the words in such a way that he convinced the entire continent, entire country of Bharat, that accept the Vedas and accept the Vivartavad philosophy, accept the Mayavad illusory concept. Simple word jugglery, Prabhupada mentioned in this purport. It has been clearly explained in this purport that the Vedanta Sutra of Śrīla Vyāsadeva, it is definitely stated that all cosmic manifestation result from transformations of various energies of the Lord. Now, Shankaracharya, however, not accepting the energy of the Lord, thinks that it is the Lord who is transformed. He has taken many clear statements from the Vedic literature and in essence twisted them to try to prove that the Lord or the Absolute Truth were transformed. His oneness would be disturbed. How exceptionally illogical to us. Exceptionally illogical to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And so, he has accused Vyasadeva of being mistaken. Such audacity of the impersonalists, of the Mayavadis. Such audacity. Accusing the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be mistaken. In developing his philosophy of monism, Shankaracharya has established this Vivartavad, or the Mayavad theory of illusion. Theory of illusion. Now, Srila Prabhupada, in the previous purport, pretty elaborate, mentions that Shankaracharya continuously tries to prove that the acceptance of the transformation of the energy of the Supreme Lord is faulty. And he tries to defy his transformation of the energy in a misguided way. To us, it's misguided. To many, it may not be. It's a question of faith, question of understanding. Now, since Shankaracharya's conception of God is impersonal, he doesn't believe that the entire cosmic manifestation is a transformation of the energies of the Lord. As soon as one accepts the various energies of the Lord, of the Absolute Truth, one must immediately accept the Absolute Truth to be personal, not impersonal. That's common sense. To us, it's common sense. Not believing in the fact that the energy of the Absolute Truth is transformed, Shankaracharya has propounded his theory of illusion and converted billions upon millions.
Now Vyasadeva explains that the absolute truth is a person who has different potencies. Merely by his desire that there be creation, and by his glance, he just glances, creation begins. And the mechanics of this material realm begin simply by his glance. And there he lies in the corner, the picture there, simply glancing. That's all he does. Now, after creation, he remains the same person. He doesn't change. He doesn't transform, which is what Shankaracharya is mentioning. One should accept that the Lord has inconceivable energies, and that it is by his order and will that varieties of manifestations have come into existence. And the Supreme Brahman is the absolute truth, and the energies that have emanated from him and are existing separately, such as the living entities, the jivas, and the cosmic manifestation, are also truths, not illusion. For the material cosmic manifestation is always existing. Yes, it may change, but this is an absolute truth. Now, this is an example of transformation, which is called vikara or parinama, explained in this verse 122. The Supreme Lord is a fact, and therefore whatever is created by the Supreme Lord is also factual. It's as simple as that. How can one not accept? Why do they go to the illogical aspect of understanding? To us, it's simple. Simple for the simple, complicated for the crooked. Simple. Everything is true and complete, Purnam. But the original Purnam, the complete absolute truth, always remains the same. Purnat Purnam Uchyate, Purnasya Purnam Adaya. The absolute truth is so perfect that although innumerable energies emanate from him and manifest creations which appear to be different from him, he nevertheless maintains his personality. He never deteriorates under any circumstances. That's the nature of the absolute truth, the cause of all causes. He doesn't deteriorate. Yet how can people have the understanding that he deteriorates? Absurdity. Prabhupada is very cutting, as we all know, when it comes to the Mayavada philosophy. The material realm and the living entities are transformed of the energy of the Lord. We understand that. And the absolute truth of the Brahman, who is the original source, or in other words, the absolute truth, Brahman, is the original ingredient. The original ingredient. And the other manifestations are transformations of this ingredient. Prabhupada is mentioning this in the previous purport. Brahman, the absolute truth, is the original cause, and the jivas and this cosmic manifestation are the effects of that cause. The cause being fact, and the effects are also factual. They may change, but they are factual. They are not illusory. Srila Prabhupada mentions that Shankaracharya has inconsistently tried to prove that it is an illusion to to accept the material world and the jivas as byproducts of the Supreme Lord. Because the existence of the material world and the jivas is different and separate from the absolute truth. And hence, he feels that it's an illusion. Again, with his wording, the jugglery, the Mayavad philosophy have propagated the slogan, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithaha, which declares that the absolute truth is fact, but the cosmic manifestation and the jivas are simply illusion, or that all of them, in fact, the absolute truth, and that the Mrityulok, this material realm, or material world, and the jivas don't separately exist. Such is their philosophy. Srila Prabhupada mentions that Prakriti is mithya, or false. Sankracharya mentions this, that Prakriti is false. But this is the great, great blunder which he has made to us, to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. This is the blunder. If the Lord is a fact, how can his creation be false? Misconception to us. The Vaishnavas say that the cosmic creation is not false, but temporary. This seems logical, right? It's logical. It is separate from the Lord, but since it's wonderfully created by the energy of the Lord, to say that it is false is ridiculously blasphemous. Ridiculously to us. Saying that, in essence, the Lord doesn't have arms, doesn't have legs, to us, it's weird. Totally weird. And yet accepted by others. What a pity. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, a very famous verse which Lord Chaitanya gives us. Of course, it's also in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And Mahaprabhu has given, just on this very verse, 61 explanations. And of course, it's the famous Atmarama verse. 61 explanations. Sutta Goswami, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 7, text 10, quotes this very verse. Sutavacha atparamascha muniyo nirgranta api krukrame kurvanti ahai kutim bhaktim idam bhuta guno harihi. All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, included liberated souls. Mahaprabhu, in the very first word, Atmarama, gives 7 different explanations. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitarama Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Nithaya Bhagavan ki jai. Mahaprabhu gives 7 different explanations, and to begin with, he gives the meaning being, the first meaning, Brahman, absolute truth. The second, the body. The third is the mind. Fourth is endeavor. Fifth is endurance. Sixth is intelligence. And finally, one's personal habits. Is 7 different explanations it's given here. Now, it is mentioned in this particular chapter of the CC, Madhya Leela, chapter 24, verse 77, that the word Atma, self, indicates the highest truth, Krishna. He is the all-pervasive, witness of all, and he is the supreme form. He is the supreme form. Very clear. And now, how does one attain him? Very simple. How does one attain him? By the performance of unalloyed devotional service. So for a devotee is very attached to one's service. Isn't it? We're very attached. We may not be performing that particular service in the best possible way, but we're attached. We may be lousy at it, but we want to continue with it. Someone else may be better at it. Matter of opinion, but we still want to serve. We still want to continue. This is, in essence, the way forward. Not by not doing any service, but by continuing. In Jagannath Puri, in the late 19th century, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj gives this wonderful story. He's a great storyteller. And he tells this story in his book, that one head pujari by the name of Talika Mahapatra, not our Tadakar Prabhu, but Talika Mahapatra, he was very attached to his service. Not the best of head pujaris, but he was very attached. And one day he was offering aarti, like Mataji is offering aarti there. And he noticed that Jagannath doesn't have a garland. Now there on the altar, all the personalities, all the supreme personalities have the garlands. Can you imagine if they don't have garlands? It would be absurd. And he realized that, oh my lord, Jagannath doesn't have a garland. And the king of Puri is about to appear, and if he takes, when he takes darshan, and he realizes that Jagannath doesn't have garland, it will be the chop for me. I'll lose my job. What am I going to do? And I know that after the aarti, when the king appears, after his darshan, he will request the garland as Mahaprasad. Because he's an important person, I have to take the garland off Jagannath and give it to him. But there is no garland. So Talika Mahapatra did something exceptionally sacrilegious. He took his own garland off and put it on Jagannath. Sacrilegious. How can one do that? But he's so attached to his service. He put it on. Whether Jagannath accepted or not, he didn't mind. As long as he continues with his service. Sure enough, the king appeared, takes darshan of Jagannath, and after the darshan, requests the head pujari, Talika Mahapatra, give me the garland. The head pujari takes the garland off of Jagannath and offers it to the king. The king, very satisfied, off he goes to his chambers, to his palace. And then when he gets to his chambers, he takes the garland off. Now, when he takes the garland off, he notices something. He notices that in the garland, there's a long hair. Now, fortunately, in my garland, there's no hair. I don't particularly have hair. I shaved up yesterday. But the head pujari has long hair. Not our head pujari, Talika. And so the king is wondering, Jagannath doesn't have any hair. Have you ever seen Jagannath with hair? How did this hair turn up here in the garland? Bit weird. So then he thought, the king was intelligent enough, he put two and two together. He was thinking that this hair must be the hair of the head pujari. He's got long hair. So is it that this head pujari was wearing this garland? So he immediately summons the head pujari. Talika comes in front of him, and Talika is questioned by the king, is this your garland? Was it that you were wearing this, and then you offered it to Jagannath? No, my Maharaj, how would I do that? So from one mistake to another. Why? Because he's attached to his service. He denied it. So the king then says, tomorrow morning I'm coming for Mangalarti, and if I see that Jagannath doesn't have any hair, you'll be for the chop. Because Talika was basically saying that Jagannath's got long hair. So if Jagannath doesn't have any hair, the king mentions, you will be sacked from your service. So now Talika's really panicking. That evening, he's attempting to rest. He's tossing and turning. He tried some sleeping pills, didn't work. He's tossing, he's just thinking what's going to happen in the morning. Jagannath comes to him. And he says, I'm the Lord of the universe. What's the problem? I'm attached to you being my head pujari, so don't worry. Have no fear. I'll sort it out. I'll fix it. The following morning, Talika wakes up Jagannath. And to his utter surprise, Jagannath has hair to his waist. He's so surprised. And he's so thankful. And long comes along the king, takes darshan of Jagannath, and he's thinking, how is it that Lord Jagannath has hair? And then he accuses the head pujari, have you put a wig on him? Is it a wig? Talika says, no, it's not a wig. So the king, being the superior authority, as it were, went on to the altar. And he takes a couple of strands of hair from Jagannath and he tucks and pulls. He pulls at it, and what happens is blood oozes down Jagannath's face, down his eyes, to his lips, down his chin. And the king is thinking, my lord, I've committed such a great offense. He immediately rushes to the head pujari, falls at his feet, begs for forgiveness, accepts him as his spiritual master, and understood that he has committed a great offense. After doing so, he goes back onto the altar, and there he notices Jagannath doesn't have any hair. So he understands. So this is why devotees are so attached to their service. Yes, it may not be perfectly rendered, but the attachment is there. A devotee of the Lord, understanding the difference between the body and the self, in essence, the Vivartavad philosophy, feels that the body and the self are the same. Everything is illusory. But a devotee understands that the body and the self are different. And he prays, the devotee prays, at the time of death, we can see in the Sri Aurobindo Upanishad, this is my favorite mantra because I recite it again and again and again at the crematorium. And the devotee prays, Vayur anilam amritam athedam basmantam sariram Om krito smara kritam smara krito smara kritam smara. Let this temporary body be burnt to ashes, and let the air of life be merged with the totality of air. Now, O my Lord, please remember all my sacrifices. And because you are the ultimate beneficiary, please remember all that I have done for you. A devotee prays like that. Please remember all that I have done for you. This is in the Shiosha Upanishad Mantra 17. And in the purport, Prabhupada gives an elaborate purport. Prabhupada mentions that the identity of the living entity is never impersonal. Is never impersonal. Or without form. The identity of the living entity is never without form. But on the contrary, it is the material, it is the material dress which is formless. Interesting. And simple, it is the material dress which is formless and which takes a shape according to the form of the indestructible person. Meaning the Atma, meaning the Self. No living entity is originally formless. No living entity is originally formless. Of course, a devotee doesn't think of himself or herself to be more so for himself to do things. But more so, a devotee is thinking, what can I do for others? The other forms, the other living entities. What can I do? This is the Gaudiya Vaishnav mood, isn't it? That what can I do for others? You may be driving the car and you see so many people on the street. Which one of these people will become the next devotee? You may stop a devotee on the streets. Today is Saturday, so many devotees will be stopping potential devotees on the street. Will he become a devotee? What can I do for this person? That's why I'm distributing this book. Because I want to do something for this living entity. Because he has the potential, she has the potential to become a devotee. In Jayapataka Maharaj's new book, Gauranga, entitled Gauranga, he gives a very nice pastime from the Chaitanya Mangal. And this pastime is how an acharya feels or how a devotee feels of other living entities. The pastime begins of when Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enters Dwarka. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, Krishna is always leaving Hastinapur, entering Dwarka, leaving Dwarka, coming to Hastinapur. The queens of Dwarka are thinking he's never here, he's always in Hastinapur. Right? And the residents of Hastinapur are thinking, why isn't he here all the time? He's always in Dwarka. So on one particular occasion, the Lord enters Dwarka and first he goes to the palace of Satyabhama. And after which he enters the palace of Rukmini. And when he enters the palace of Rukmini, Rukmini Maharani is in tears. She's literally wailing, crying so much. The Lord asks, what's the matter? Has your mother-in-law been very harsh to you? Have the children been naughty? Have the servants not been listening to you? What's the problem? And then she says, no, it's none of that. What it is that you've appeared, but soon you'll leave. And again, I'll be bereft of your association. Soon you're going to leave. And then immediately, even though whilst crying, she then makes the arrangement for her to perform Pada Puja. She washes the Lord's feet, puts him on his throne. The children appear. The Lord hugs each and every child. Could be thousands, we don't know. But they all appear. And then he sits and she then washes his feet. Of course, when I come home, it doesn't happen like that. Generally, it's a rolling pin in the hand. Have you got the milk? Go to the supermarket, get some fruits, whatever, you know. Nothing like washing the feet. So she's still crying. And there, out in the window, Narad Muni is witnessing all this, as he usually does. And he's witnessing what's going on. And the Lord, Krishna, glances and he looks at the window and he sees Narad at the window. He says, Gurudev, Gurudev, come in. Why are you outside? He goes out, followed by Rukmini Devi, brings Narad in. And Narad has his own Guru Asan. He sits on his Vyasasan, his Asan. And the Lord realizes that Narad is also disturbed, dejected, depressed, despondent. And he's thinking, my wife's also depressed, now my guru's also depressed. Mentioned like that. What's going on? So he asks, Guruji, what is the problem? Why are you so disturbed? You look very despondent. You're never depressed, for you're always chanting the glories of the Lord. How can you be depressed? And Narad says, well, it's come to the end of Kali Yuga. On this universe, it's Kali Yuga. It's coming to, not the end of Kali Yuga, end of Dwarpa Yuga. Beginning of Kali is appearing. And now that it's end of Dwarpa Yuga, you will soon depart. You will not remain here. So the problem I have is what's going to happen with all the living entities, in particular on this planet. What's going to happen? The Lord immediately turns to Rukmini Maharani and mentions, see, this is the difference between you and the Guru. The Guru is thinking of the entire planet. You're simply thinking of you, me, me, me. I'm going to be bereft of your association. But here the Guru is thinking of the entire planet, all the living entities. And then Rukmini mentions, well, the only person who really knows how I feel is Srimati Radharani. She knows how I feel. Lord thinking, okay, very well. Narad mentions, what should I do? What can I do? Please tell me. The Lord mentions, well, you go to Jagannath Puri. Take darshan of Lord Jagannath and plead to him. Make a plea to him. And then if Jagannath wants, then I might just remain here throughout Kali Yuga. So Narad is thinking, oh, there's hope. There's hope for all the Praja, all the living entities. There is hope. So off he goes to Jagannath Puri, takes darshan of Jagannath, and he mentions to Jagannath that, look, it's the end of Dwarpa Yuga, and soon Kali will come, and the Lord will disappear. He'll leave, but we want him to stay. So Jagannath says, well, I can't do much, mate. You have to go off to Swetadweep. Go to Goloka and make your plea there, make your case there. I can't do much. So Narad says, well, for Narad is no big thing. He goes off to Swetadweep. When he enters the realm, the spiritual realm, he sees in the distance there's a humongous altar. A very nicely decorated altar. And there on the left-hand side of the Lord, of whoever is sitting on that altar, the left-hand side are the queens of Dwarka. And on the right-hand side are the gopis. And he's thinking, what are all these personalities doing? And as he gets closer, he sees that all these personalities are worshipping this particular person who is on the altar. Is he Krishna? He goes forward further and further and notices that this isn't Krishna. But nevertheless, because everyone is worshipping this personality, he pays his obeisances and full dandavat pranams. And when he gets up, this personality calls him nearer. He comes nearer and he sees, to his utter amazement, it's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who's been worshipped. Mahaprabhu calls him nearer and he says, what's your problem? Why are you here? And Narad says, well, in the four-headed Brahma universe, the Brahma Brahmanda universe of the four-headed Brahma. Dwarpa Yuga is coming to an end and your pastimes there are also coming to an end. And my request is that you remain throughout Kali Yuga. That's what our request is. Of course, when he does get there, Jagannath has instructed him, advised him, that any influential people in your universe, take them with you to make your case stronger. So he takes with him Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, because he goes to Kailash, and certain influential personalities with regards to universal affairs are present. And then the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then says, oh, that's not a big deal, I'll turn up. You go back to Dwarka. I'll follow you. So Narad then leaves, and when he then enters Dwarka once again. And when he enters Dwarka, he goes straight to the palace of Rukmini, and because Krishna is expecting him, of course the Lord somehow has frozen time. Because when Lord Chaitanya leaves, 4,500 years have lapsed. But Narad is there, and he enters once again the palace of Rukmini. Krishna is there discussing with Rukmini. And he then, when he sees Narad, he sits him down again, performs Pada Puja, and then mentions to Narad, so have you got your answer? And Narad is very jubilant. He's performing Sankirtan, saying, yes, you'll come, you'll remain in Kali Yuga. And then the Lord, to satisfy Rukmini Maharani, he mentions to her that because you know how you're feeling due to, you know that the only person who knows how you're feeling is Srimati Radharani, I will remain here in Kali Yuga as an expansion of Srimati Radharani. Jai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. This is particular pastime is in the Chaitanya Mangal. Of course, a devotee thinking of at the time of death, I have to come at the time of death because I'm so accustomed to the funerals. Of course, this month I haven't done many. I could have done one today, but it was all the way in Leeds. So I thought, I'm not going to drive up to Leeds. So a devotee is thinking, let this temporary body be burnt to ashes. Isn't it? But sometimes a devotee feels, let me remain in this body forever. For eternity. Such was the case for the grandfather of Vyasadev. Somehow, you know, Vyasadev has a grandfather. Now this particular pastime is in Purushottam Maharaj's new book called Death. I like the book. For obvious reasons. So this pastime is in that book. And it's mentioned that the grandfather of Vyas, he comes to Vyas. And he says to him that I know that you are the avatar of God. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I'm sure you can swing it that I can remain in this body for eternity. I don't want to die. So Vyasa says, well, it's not entirely up to me. We have to go and see Yamaraj, the Lord of Death. So they both then go to Yamaloka and they enter Yamaloka. They go straight to Yamaraj. Yamaraj is quite elated because his Vyas Muni who has appeared. Vyas introduces that this is my grandfather and he wants to live forever in this very body. And because you are the Lord of Death, I'm sure that you can swing it. It can happen. Yamaraj, he says, well, I'm sorry to say, but it's not entirely up to me, gentlemen. You have to go and see a personality called Mahakal Purush. Mahakal Purush is a manifestation, an avatar of Vishnu. Mahakal, greater time. He controls a person's departure in essence. Yamaraj is explaining. So you have to go and see him. So both of them are about to leave Yamaloka. And before departing, the grandfather turns to Yamaraj, to Vyasadeva, and he says, "Can we take Yamaraj with us? Because it will make our case stronger. So let's take him with us. Can you please request him?" So Vyas requests Yamaraj that, "Could you come with us?" Yamaraj says, "Well, I've got nothing much to do in life. I'm just the Lord of Death. I'll come with you." So he tags along and they enter the realm of Mahakal Purush. When they take darshan of Mahakal Purush, he's quite surprised that why is Yamaraj here. Vyas introduces his grandfather and mentions to Lord Vishnu that my grandfather wishes to remain in this body for eternity, and we feel that you can swing it. You can make it happen. Mahakal Purush, he mentions, "Oh, hang on a minute. You have to consult Chandragupta. You have to look at the accounts. So you have to go back to Yamaloka. Look at the file. Look at what's happening in his account." So the grandfather by this time is thinking, "Well, we've just come from Yamaloka. Now we have to go back there?" So he's a bit disturbed. "Well, that's what you have to do. You have to go and see Chandragupta, the accountant." So they're about to depart and the grandfather turns to Vyas and he says, "Look, to make our case stronger, let's take Vishnu with us. Let's take Mahakal Purush with us. So can you please request him?" So then Vyas requests Lord Vishnu, "Will you come with us?" The Lord says, "Well, I've got nothing much to do. I'm simply twiddling my thumbs here. I'll come with you." So along comes Mahakal Purusha. All four of them enter once again Yamaloka. And when they see Chandragupta, he is very elated. It is an ecstasy because his boss is there. His boss's boss is there. And Vyas Muni is there with his grandfather. Vyas Muni introduces, "My grandfather, he wishes to live forever. Can you open your laptop and look at the file? What's on the account?" Chandragupta looks, and to his utter surprise, he's so amazed that this account, there's no activity. There's nothing happening with this living entity, which means that, yes, he would live forever because nothing's on the account. It's empty. So he then relays that message to them and the grandfather is truly delighted. And they're about to leave the abode and Chandragupta comes running. "Hey, hang on a minute, my systems were down. There was a bug in the system, the virus, whatever. It's down, so it's now coming up again. There is something written." And he says that if your grandfather is in the presence of Lord Vishnu, Mahakal Purusha, Yamaraj, yourself, Vyasadev, if all four of you, if he's in the presence of all three of you, death is imminent. Of course, before he finishes that sentence, the grandfather falls, hits the ground and leaves his body. So the moral of the story in essence is that if he had just simply left it and not had this elaborate plan, yes, possibly he may have remained in his body for eternity. But because he made the arrangements. In conclusion, we see that here the Vivartavad philosophy is not for us. So if any of you devotees are thinking the nature of the absolute truth, the superior aspect of the absolute truth is formless, you're at the wrong place here. This is not the place for you. In both the purports, in the previous verse, the purport, and in this purport, Srila Prabhupada begins with making a statement, mentioning a statement from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the great Thakur Bhaktivinoda. And to end with, I wanted to share with you all a very unique poem compiled by the great Thakur Bhaktivinoda in 1871, which indicates the futility of sense enjoyment and establishes the eternality of the soul. Some of you personalities may know a little about this poem. It's called Saragri Vaishnava. Saragri means protector of the Vaishnavas. And there are 22 verses compiled in Old English. Now, generally, I haven't done English literature. I was pretty useless at English at school. But generally, Old English can be sung. And this is so nicely written that it can be easily sung. So I did want to sing 22 verses because it's been a long time since I've sung this. However, the time, it generally takes about 6 minutes. Well, 5 minutes and 56 seconds. I'll try it out. I might skip a couple of verses simply on the time because it's now, I've been told that I have to stop at 9:15. We have 2 weddings. And so we have to stop on time. But anyway, the poem goes like this. Alas for those that spend their days in festive mirth and joy, the dazzling deadly liquid forms for their hearts in air employ. The shining bottles charm their eyes and draw their hearts' embrace. The slaves of wine can never rise from what we call disgrace. Was man intended to be a brute in work and heart? Should man, the lord of all around, from common sense depart? Man's glory is in common sense, dictating us the grace that man is made to live and love the beauteous heaven's embrace. The flesh is not our own, alas, the mortal chain a frame, the mortal frame a chain, the soul confined for former wrongs should try to rise again. Why then this childish play in that which cannot be our own, which falls within 100 years as if a rose are blown? Our life is but a rosy hue to go ere long to nought or naught. The soul alone would last for e'er with good or evil frout. How deep the thoughts of time to be, how grave the aspect looks, and wrath in awe become, oh I, when reading nature's books. Man's life, to him a problem dark, a screen both left and right. No soul hath come to tell us what exists beyond our sight. But then a voice, how deep and soft, within ourselves is left. Man, man, thou art immortal soul. Thee death can never melt. For thee thy sire on high has kept a store of bliss and above, a store of bliss above, to end of time thou art, O his, once but purest love. O love, thy power and spell be nigh, now melt my soul to God. How can my earthly words describe that feeling soft and broad? Enjoyment, sorrow, what but lots, to which the flesh is heir. The soul that sleeps alone concludes in them a hearth that share. And then, my friends, no more enjoy, nor weep for all below, the women, wine, and flesh of beasts, no love on thee bestow. But thine to love thy brother man, and give thyself to God, and God doth know your wages fair. This fact is true and broad. Forget the past that sleeps, and ne'er the future dream at all. But act in times that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. But tell me not in reasoning cold, the soul is made alone, but earth's mechanic lifeless rules, and to destruction prone. My God, who gave us life and all, alone the soul can kill, nor give it all the joys above, his promise to fulfill. And push on thy onward, O soul, against an evil deed that stands with soldiers' hate and love. A hero be indeed. Maintain thy post in spirit world as firmly as you can. Let never matter push thee down, O stand heroic man. O Sharanagri Vaishnava soul, thou art an angel fair. Lead me on to Vrindavan, and spirit's power declare. Last verse. There rests my soul from matter free. Upon my lover's arms, eternal peace and spirit's love are all my chanting charms. Are all my chanting charms. Bhaktivinod Thakur ki jai. We don't particularly have any time for questions. Any comments and corrections accepted willingly. Questions maybe others can answer more. Maharaj has just left. Yes, Prabhu.